It is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here. What a blessing it is to be able to gather together, to come together to worship our Father. It's not about us, it's about Him. And I'm so glad you made the decision. If you're visiting with us, thank you very much for making the decision to come out and be a part of our church family here at Azalea City. What you're going to find here at Azalea City is we're a bunch of imperfect people trying to get to a perfect place. And that's who we are. We're real people who have real sins, who make real mistakes. But the good news is we serve a real God and a risen Savior. And I am so thankful we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Today, I want you to know that we have a couple who have come by way of through our one-to-one ministry. They are worshiping with us. They've been worshiping with us on Wednesday night late. A few of us were still around, and the young man, I guess I'd say, decided it was time to be immersed in water for the remission of his sins, and he did. Today we have with us Taylor Pardon and Mackenzie Shields, and they are a great couple. I love them very much. I've known Mackenzie a long time, and they have decided that they want to be right here, and I'm excited about that. Now, here's the part I didn't ask you. I'm going to get you to stand up, all right? Mackenzie and Taylor, stand up right here so everybody can get to know you. Welcome. Welcome to Azalea City. Appreciate one-to-one ministry. What a blessing it is to have all the ministries we have here, but certainly, we're doing a lot of great things, or a lot of great things are happening for our God. Do want to talk to you just a moment about the title screen. It says the God Team, and believe it or not, there was a lot of time. I am not an expert Photoshop person, but I spent a lot of time trying to get that word God in there, because under that word God was the letter A, the A Team. Y'all remember the A Team, right? I was a big A Team fan. But the deal with the A-Team was usually after the episode, their leader, I guess, Hannibal, would always say, "I love it when a plan comes together." Well, folks, I want you to know that God's plan is a beautiful thing. And don't we love that His plan has been revealed for us today? Today we have an opportunity to be a part of the greatest team ever assembled, and that's God's team. Today I'm going to talk with you about teamwork, and the first thing I'm going to do is talk to you about a pretty great basketball franchise. That's the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics have become, you know, one of these teams that really, you know who they are, people remember them, they recognize them, they're a global franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers are. But when it comes to basketball, there's nobody that's won more championships than the Boston Celtics. The Lakers are close, but they haven't won more. Boston's won 17 championships over the history of their franchise. That's the most in the NBA by one. But the Boston Celtics, over the span of 1957 to 1969, won 11 of those 17 championships. From 1959 to 1966, they won an amazing 8 in a row. Can you imagine? 8 years in a row, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, your team won the championship. That's pretty remarkable. They were a loss in the finals in 1958. Okay, they started this streak in 59. In 58, they lost in the finals. They were one loss in that finals away from winning 10 in a row, because they had won the year before. Pretty amazing. All of this was accomplished under the coaching of these 11 championships was accomplished under the coaching of Red Auerbach. Many of you will know who that was. Coach Auerbach formed the Celtics into a team that dominated the sport of basketball. Now, what was his secret? You know, people like John Wooden, who won so many championships at UCLA, people want to read his material, and it's really been good material to turn out how to be a great leader. Well, people like Coach Auerbach, when they say something, you want to know, what's your secret? How have you done it? What made you this great franchise, this great team? they would ask him, what could you do that everybody else did better? Was it your great players? He would certainly say, yes, we have great players, but everybody in the NBA has great players. You know, you think about somebody getting to the professional level. You know, I've heard people say my college team could beat the worst team in professionals. No, they could not. You might have four or five professional players that are going to be on that team, but the worst team in the professional level has a whole team full of professional players. You know, so everybody had good players. But the point is, they want to know, was it your drive and your ambition? He said, yes, we had drive and ambition, but other teams have drive and ambition too. One thing stood out, and you know where I'm going with this. He said, it's the amazing teamwork and selflessness of our teams. Red Auerbach once said, everything we've done has been the result of people working together to meet our common goals. His mission, his objective, his goal was to have five men on the floor that worked together. They all had their part. They were all going to give their piece of the puzzle. And when you put that puzzle together, it won 11 championships. You see, folks, when it comes to basketball, people like Red Auerbach had a great plan. People like John Wooden had a great plan. But when it comes to God's team, there's only one plan, and that's God's. And I want you to know His plan has a lot to do with what we've already talked about, teamwork. Teamwork is so special. I remember when Bo was little, there was a show that came on called The Wonder Pets. I don't even know if it still comes on. But they used to say, what's going to work? Teamwork! You know, and these little animals would come to life and they'd be superheroes. I'm telling you, it was really, you know, a stretch. But the point is, they would all work together to accomplish, to be able to get the toy rescued or whatever it was that they had to get accomplished that day. I'm sorry I've seen too many of those episodes over the time of my life. I can't get that time back. But the point is, teamwork is special, it's valuable, and it's going to work. But we've got to be a part of the team, and we've got to be willing to get in the game. We've got to be willing to get off the sidelines. You see, God's team, His church, is patterned after His Word. He is always meant for His people to be involved in a body of believers to work together as a team. Here comes a plug that we're not ashamed to plug. The Edified Podcast. Okay? That happened this past week on Wednesday. You can go everywhere and download that. Please continue to do it. We've done 12 episodes of that now. But this past Wednesday, Justin actually had the idea. And we kind of get our brains together. What are we going to talk about? We pray about it and all that. But George had given him the idea through a text where they were working together. Team is the theme. And that was something that stayed with me. And as we got done, or we were finished doing that podcast, it made me think about what can we talk about so that we can be better teammates? How can we be more effective? Because it's not about me, it's about God, it's about His team. What can we do to work together? Now, there are people who may believe that they can be just as good. They can be just as good of a Christian without the church. There are people that believe that. You know, I can be fine. I don't need the church. I can be just as good a Christian. But I just want you to know something. Again, it's not my plan. It's not your plan. It's God's plan. He's the head coach, if you will, right? He is boss. He is Yahweh. He's Jehovah. He's the one only true living God. We cannot do much for God if we are not part of His team, His church. When somebody asks me, do I have to go to church to go to heaven? And I said this in class this morning, that's not a real question. That's not the real question. If somebody says, do I really have to go to church every Sunday to go to heaven? That's not the real question. If I have that question, it's not a going to church problem. It's a question of the heart problem. Am I willing to do what God wants me to do? Am I willing to put Him first in everything? Because I'm going to tell you, heaven is too valuable and hell's way too high for us to miss heaven. We want to make sure we're doing everything we can. So what is this? What is this time together? This is self-evaluation. This is a rally. I'm going to rally you and I'm going to rally me. We're going to evaluate ourselves and we're going to leave here and we're going to turn the world upside down for God. That's our plan. You see, God set things up for us to be a part of His church. And that church has different responsibilities. If you listen to the podcast, you know I butchered this in the podcast. If you didn't, go back and listen to it if you want to hear me butcher something. But in 1 Corinthians 12, you know what Paul talked about? He talked about we're all part of the team. And he talked about how we're going to, all different parts work together to have the same function. And I said, you know, he talks about not everybody can be an eyeball. And I said, that'd be a weird look if we were all walking around like eyeballs. And so I thought about Monsters, Inc., Monsters University, Mike Wazowski. I got it this time. I butchered that on the podcast. I don't even know what I said. But the point is, if you've ever seen that, he's a green little eyeball that walks around and what if that's what we were? It'd be weird. It'd be weird. Not everybody can be an eyeball. Not everybody can be a hand. Not everybody can be a foot. Not everybody can be a leg. Not everybody can be a mouth. There's nerves and there's all kinds of things that make up the body, but every one of them have a special part. You see, that's the body of Christ. Not everybody is the marquee person in the spotlight. But I'm going to tell you right now, we need more people that are rolling their sleeves up and going to work than those who are in the spotlight, if you will, quote unquote. You see, I want to illustrate this and see this through Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Jesus was not just the carpenter's son. Jesus was not just the son of Mary. Folks, Jesus, He said it Himself, He was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. That means if you've seen Me, He said, you've seen the Father. And that is pretty remarkable. So don't forget who He was. That means if He's God in the flesh, He could do anything that God could do. He could. He could heal the sick. He did. He could raise the dead. He did. He could feed thousands with just a little bit, and He did. When He spoke, huge crowds would gather. They'd be mesmerized by His teachings. If things required a little extra power, you know what He could have done? He could have reached up into heaven and called that legion of angels. By the way, one angel, the angel of the Lord, in the Old Testament, killed 100,000 plus soldiers of the Assyrian army. One angel did that. What could a legion of them have done? Jesus had all this in His ability, in His control. He could have done it Himself, but He did not do it that way, did He? He chose 12. He had a team. So teamwork is valuable to God. It's valuable to Him getting the job done. Jesus spent all night one evening praying for those 12 men who would become His closest followers, and then He spent the next 3 years side by side with those men. Do you really think Jesus needed those 12 to get the job done? No, He didn't. He was God. He could have done it any way He wanted. But maybe He did need those 12. Why would He need those 12? Because there was a human side to Him as well. There was a human side that needed encouragement. There was a human side that needed strength. There was a human side that He couldn't reach everybody. He had 3 years to train them to do a lifetime of ministry that we're even doing today. Jesus needed teamwork. Because Jesus never sent His disciples out to do anything alone. Mark 6 verse 7 teaches us that Jesus called the 12 to Him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Luke 10 verse 1, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. Jesus never called for his disciples to do anything by themselves. They always seem to be in pairs. Okay, you think about the Bible, you think about the journeys, you think about the times they were in trouble. Peter and John, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. There was always somebody together with them. Justin brought this up on the podcast this past week when we were talking about teams. He quoted from Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. This is a beautiful and powerful point and beautiful scripture. Listen to this. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Isn't that beautiful? If you take a piece of rope and you unwind it, you've got three strands that come together there. Those strands individually are pretty weak. But when you put them together, they're pretty tough. They're pretty hardy. They're pretty strong. And that is what we're talking about together today. Jesus was God in the flesh. Think of the things he could have done, but he still chose 12 because he needed a team. Today, you and I can't do it alone. Our elders can't do it alone. You think Justin can do youth ministry alone? Folks, youth ministry doesn't begin in the classroom. It begins at the home. And that's something that we've got to understand. And Jason can't do it alone. And I can't do it. We need help. We need help. And that's why I've always said, if you think about your section, you know, we've got assigned seats, right, quote unquote. You think about your section, all right? If you will look around your section and say, who's not here? If they get a phone call, a text, a Facebook message, an Instagram message, a Snapchat, we go on and on, right? A tweet. They get all that stuff from you. That means a lot more than it does coming from me. Because they say, hey, Terry's supposed to call me. Terry's supposed to reach out. But my brother who sits two pews behind me reached out to me. Wow, that's part of teamwork. It's part of picking one another up. That's part of being there for each other. Two are better than one. That is kind of the signal for a word called synergy. Maybe you know what synergy is. Synergy is the scientifically proven idea that where the energy of something is compounded, it can accomplish great things. So when you compound something, you take the energy of one thing that may be strong, and you take the energy of something else, and you combine them together, it's not 1 + 1 = 2, now it's 3. It's gone above and beyond. Well, synergy is what God's talking about. What can we do together? Heard of a horse pulling competition. We're Sims, Alabama, right? Might be fun on a Friday night. Horse pulling competition. I got combined in my head. First place horse in this competition pulled 5,000 pounds. You want to talk about horsepower, right? 5,000 pounds. The second place horse pulled almost 4,000 pounds. You know what they decided to do? Hey, if they can pull 5,000, this will pull, what can they do together? Well, logically, they're going to pull 9,000 pounds, right? That's what our minds would think. But when the event was over, they got them together, and the two horses pulled 12,000 pounds. It doesn't make sense. One could pull 5,000, the other could pull 4, but together they pulled 12. That's the idea that God wants us to have. What can we do together? Jesus said it this way. I will tell you that if two of you on earth agree, this is Matthew 18, 19, and 20. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. It's all about a crowd. It's all about a team. It's all about being together. You know what happens when we're together? there are less chances for us to sin. Now, listen, I understand that some get together and that's what they do. They go to sin. But let's think if I've got a sin that I struggle with privately. Maybe my sin is lust, and I struggle if I'm by myself and I go to the computer or I go to the phone or I go to whatever and I pull up some things I shouldn't. If I'm with my friends and they're Christians, it's reduced my odds greatly of me getting into that sin, of me getting into that trouble. And so this idea is so amazing, but it's not reinventing the wheel. It's not something God has had us just dig up from our own brains. It's common knowledge. It's common sense. So today, I want to give you just quickly four quick points of how we can be better teammates. Just a few people can make a difference. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts 13 or your devices. Acts chapter 13. There are five men. What I love about this is something you might not have thought about. Five men who changed the world. There are a lot of Bible stories I could preach about today you've heard. But this may be one that may be a little bit unfamiliar to you. Let me give you these five men. Let me give you their names. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon. Well, no, that's only four. He was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and then there's Saul. Okay? Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manon, and Saul. Of those five, you've heard of Barnabas and Saul. But there was a Simeon, a Lucius, and a Manon. These were five good men who worked together as a team for our God. How do I know they worked together? Look at Acts 13, verse 2. It says, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. These men had set aside a specific period of time when they got together as five men. Their objective for getting together was to worship God in their small group. They had this small group. They got together. We know Barnabas. We know Saul. But Simeon, Lucius, and Manon, we do not know much about, and I still don't know much about them. But here's what I do know. These five men, this team of brothers, got together and they said, hey, let's pray and let's fast. Now, you know fasting is not something that is practiced near as much today as it was in Bible times. But when they fasted over something, they were serious about it. They gave up food for a period of time that they could get together. Why? Because it was a distraction. They got rid of all the distractions so they could focus their synergy, if you will, together. So they could be together and work together for the work of God. Now we know what happened. In Acts 11, we find that Barnabas went to Tarsus to find Saul, and together they began teaching large numbers of people at Antioch. But these other three men, were they preachers? I don't know. Maybe they were what we would call Sunday school teachers or deacons in the church today. I don't know. Maybe they were elders at the church that was there at Antioch. The Bible doesn't tell us. All we know is that there were five men who decided to get together to worship God and fast. This was not an accidental meeting. It was deliberate. They deliberately gathered together for the specific purpose of worshiping, praying, and fasting. So I want you to think about this. These five men and this praying and what the kind of prayer they were doing, I believe they knew there was something else they were not yet involved with. Something more that God wanted them to do. And so they got together. They got down on their knees. They prayed. They fasted. When they opened themselves up in a big way. Let me just ask you, what would happen today if five men or women got together every day and they prayed about something? Think it changed things? You know it would. Prayer works. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James said. If you got a group of people together and y'all pray, let's say there's something going on in your life right now, and you got these righteous people together and you prayed together about it every day, something's going to happen. God may not take it away, but He'll give you strength to get through it. There's going to be something that changes. And let me tell you, by these five men getting together again, Simeon, Lucius, Manon, Barnabas, and Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, getting together and praying about this, something happened. They were Spirit-led. And here's what the Spirit led. Four things happened. Number one, nearly a dozen new congregations were established throughout Asia because of this meeting. Hundreds of people were baptized into Jesus Christ because of this meeting. Paul began a ministry of writing letters that resulted in the composition of half of our New Testament, which come after this meeting. And finally, Antioch was established as one of the central hubs of Christianity in the ancient world. All because these five team players got on the floor together as a team. And they did it for God. I want to be like those men. I do. I want to help change the world like that church at Antioch changed the world. I want us to be a powerful church, the powerful church that Jesus wants us to be like they were. Now, I believe we're a pretty good church. I do. I believe we're getting better all the time. I believe part of the reason is because we're blessed with great men who serve us as elders and leaders here. They understand the importance of our church working together as a team. We try really hard to emphasize that we're all ministers and members of the body of Christ. But we can all do better. I believe it with all my heart. We can all do better. So how can we do better? First of all, we got to make worship a priority. Bo read to us from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you this. Justin, it wasn't that long ago he showed us those yellow jackets. You remember that? He threw that GoPro, or he didn't do it. Somebody threw that GoPro into that yellow jacket's nest. Now, if you've ever been stung by a yellow jacket, I have. By the way, Bubba and me and Toby and I don't know, maybe somebody else was together one time and Toby ran over a yellow jacket's nest and they're nailing him. And Bubba and I are like over there kind of laughing in our heads. Sorry, brother. You know, but about that time, what they start doing? They start nailing me and Bubba. They are trackers. They are brutal. They were like, I don't care. You laugh, I kill you. You know? But that GoPro, you throw it in there and a few start attacking it, and then thousands were attacking it. That's what happens when we get together and we stir up love and good works. We attack the enemy. We need to be those yellow jackets. We need to be that type of people. You know, it's Red Rover, Red Rover. Send the devil right over, and we're going to do whatever we can, and we're going to keep him out of our hearts, our lives. That's what happens when we make worship a priority. The five men in Acts 13 made it a priority to be in worship together. Unless there's a reason they can't be here, people who love Jesus will be in church. You hear me? George talked about decisions this morning. Let me repeat this. Let me say it fully and then repeat it. Unless there's a reason you can't be here, people who love Jesus will be in church. Those who don't won't. People who love Jesus will be in church. Those who do not will not. These five men in Acts 13 loved Jesus. They wanted to be together. Great things happened because of that. Number two, we can't just sit on the bench. I understand that the bench is necessary, okay? I'm a coach, I know. You've got to have depth. You've got to have people that can come in and come up. They give a six-man award in the NBA. somebody who comes off the bench, the best player to come off the bench and play, wins the Sixth Man of the Year award. It's important. The bench is important. But let's don't just be satisfied sitting on the bench. Let's get in the game. A team that sits the bench isn't going to be much value. They're not going to be valuable. You know, let's say we're going out to play the championships. Guy's like, ah, coach, I don't want to play today. You just put somebody else in. Put somebody else in. Well, see, that can't happen in the church. I'm deeply appreciative of a church who sits in the seats every Sunday. I am. Got a good crowd. I'm glad you're here. Okay? But if all we do is sit in the seats, we aren't doing our part for God's team. Hebrews 10 tells us we need to consider how to stir one another up towards love and good works. You see, that's the foundation of a great team. Stirring that fire. Lighting that fire. We need our team to be here. We need our team to be involved. We need them to be involved in all ministries. We've got something from the youngest among us to the oldest among us. There's no question you can find a place of involvement. Number three, we also, what does a good team do? A good teammate, we seek God's will together. Acts 13 tells us these five men deliberately got together to worship, to fast, and to pray. The intensity of their action indicated they were seeking God's will in a powerful way, and they were deliberately doing that. We do things like that. We have Sunday school. We have prayer breakfast. We have Sunday afternoon for the master when we get together. But are we praying specifically, God, direct me to somebody today that I can change their life for you? Is that our mission? Are we asking God? We've got to deliberately seek God's will for our lives. Let it be purpose-driven. If we're not doing something purposely to grow closer to God, then why are we doing it? It's all about strengthening the team. So we need to seek God's will together. And then finally, you know what happens when we do all that? We better look for big things to happen. Remember those four things that happened? Folks, do you realize today we have Christianity in this world? Largely because probably those five men got together and prayed. That helped grow the church, which helped grow the church, which helped grow the church, which got the church to all parts of the world. We're here today because five men and more got together and they prayed. Use me, God. Help me, God. Allow me, God. Antioch, that big plan began with five men. I'm going to tell you right now, we get together and we do that. We get to be an active part of the team. You know what we're going to do here? We're going to have to tear walls out. We can change this community. You know, you may not know this, but Jimmy Presley and Justin Barnes and maybe some others, I hope I'm not leaving people out, but they have planted a pumpkin patch. And you might think, why would we do that? Well, I think, why not? You know, we've got the property here. Let's use it. People go to places all over and they go and they buy a pumpkin. It's a big deal for their kids. How about going and picking it off the vine or whatever it may be? You know, that's just a little thing we're doing for our community. Our schools are starting back. Think about what we can do. All it takes sometimes is a little bit of spark to catch fire. But if I'm not willing to get off the bench, God may walk somebody into your life tomorrow. Maybe today. He may walk them into your life. If I'm not willing to be off the bench, be an active part of God's team, and I'm not seeking His will, I may totally miss the opportunity. God's team is the greatest team we can be a part of. Today, if you're not part of the team, what are you waiting for? This is a team that you do not have to worry about. You know, when it comes to running races, I knew I was not going to be picked first. I'm not the best runner. But probably if it comes to maybe bench pressing, they might pick me, you know. But the point I'm trying to say is we all have our certain places, right? But we don't have to worry about any of that with God. No matter what we look like, no matter our background, no matter the skeletons in our closet, His Son died for you. And today, because of that blood, we can have our sins washed away. We can be immersed in water for the remission of our sins, and God will add us to His team. Come part of the team like Taylor did. Maybe you're here and you've been a bad teammate. It's time to get rid of that attitude. It's time to get rid of that mentality. It's time to get into the action, and let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.